The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:45 a.m. Set those alarm clocks. Gary Capewell, Ross Briley and Mark Slater will be in the studio. It's the first day of the open meeting at Cheltenham. We also have all-weather action at Lingfield and jumps racing from Newcastle in the afternoon. We'll finish the day with two all-weather fixtures, one from Wolverhampton and one from Dundalk. So five meetings to look forward to in total. My name is Mark Walton and joining me on the line, it's Catherine Fry. How are you, Catherine?
Yeah, good, Mark. Thanks.
Good. Cheltenham, the open meeting starts tomorrow. You must be excited.
Yeah, absolutely excited. I actually had the pleasure of walking the course on Tuesday, which was very kind of them to let us do it this close to a meeting, so really appreciate that. And that was brilliant. You forget how the sort of... I walked the course in the summer when it was like a road, and even sort of in the time every time you walk Cheltenham, you forget what a test it actually is. And even on the turn away from the stand, it's like a roller coaster shoot. You know, it really is, as we all know, a real test of a horse's stamina. And it's quite tight, really. It's quite stiff. It's galloping. It's undulated. You know, it really is some test.
Yeah. I was walking across the course last year at the festival, going to the cross country part of the race course, and looking down the hill, you know, in the home straight, you think you do see how much of a hill it is.
I mean, yeah,
it doesn't necessarily always do it justice on television, but when you actually stand on the hill, it's pretty steep, isn't it?
It is, and if you can't get out onto the course on a race day, good way of actually seeing it is if you stand at the bottom of the members' lawn and actually look up. Sort of look through club and up to Taz, you will actually see the incline. It's something else. And we walked the course the other day with our very own Chutney Dave, and I was like streets ahead of them in front coming to the line, and just in the last half a furlong Dave starts running and nabbed me on the line, so yeah. I know, sprung up the stand rail.
Oh no. Finishing strongly. Were you tying up in front? Were you tired?
I was idling. I thought I was home and hosed. I didn't think anything was going to come out of the pack. I was actually saying, oh, look at all you boys letting a filly beat you like this. And then Dave came with a storming run at the stand rail, and I'd practically sort of dropped to a walk. And so, yeah, he did me.
Oh, dear. To get your pair of blinkers next time. Keep your focus.
Yeah, definitely.
Before we look ahead to Friday's racing, that's what we're going to do. We're going to preview Friday's racing at Cheltenham. Obviously, the big race of the weekend is the Paddy Power Gold Cup. That takes place on Saturday. And Finian's Rainbow has been confirmed getting the go-ahead as well. He's currently 10-1 in the betting. The joint favourites at the time of recording are Champion Court and John's Spirit. Ballinagore's also in there at 8-1. Rajdhani Express 10s, 12 for Colour Squadron and Nadia Della Vega, and then 14-1 or bigger price as the rest. Shaping up to be a good race on Saturday.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I think if we start with Finian's Rainbow, I know it's ridiculous, we're talking about a former champion chaser. I'm still not convinced that it was just the heavy ground that was for his undoing last season. I think there was obviously, I think he went away and had another little tinker with his breathing, didn't he? But he didn't look a happy horse at any stage. I think, all right, his class is highly documented, but I still think it's a tough ask coming back after all his problems off the top weight on 11-12. I was very lucky enough to see Champion Court the other morning at the open day at Martin Keithley's. He looks an absolute picture, and Martin stressed that they did have the horse exactly right back to where they wanted him. He was at pains to suggest that the King George actually took it out of the horse last year, and then he wasn't right. He wasn't right when he ran at the festival. He said that he still wasn't right when he won at Cheltenham in April. Given that the horse acts around there, you have to give him a chance. Ballinagore, you know, for all of his talent, and he is talented, and I know that he's best fresh, I just don't think I can still have a horse that bursts. I actually sort of, I know the breeders of Ballinagore quite well, and you know, they've said to me, he's a lovely horse, fantastic horse, but he's had this this bleeding problem all the way through his life. And of course we all know that David Pipe's a master trainer, but if you've got a horse like that, what do you do? You know, I don't know too much about what you do stopping a horse from bleeding, but this horse, he bled through his early days in Irish Point to Points, he bled in France, you know, and he bled at the festival as well. I'm not sure that I can take a chance with that. I'm sticking with John Spirit. I was very keen on him after his win at the showcase meeting. I think he showed he was battle hardy last year. He was running in horrible ground all season. Won at Sandown, second to Katenko as well, and he was running a variety of distances. Ran at Cheltenham, ran at Aintree, ran at Ayr. Absolutely looked $1 million at Cheltenham. Only went up 10, I think, off 10-2. He's got, yes, this is harder, but that's a beautiful weight, and acts round Cheltenham. What more do you want, you know?
Yeah, that's fair enough. So John Spirit then in the Paddy Power Gold Cup. Let's move on to Friday's racing, though. That's what we're going to focus on. And good racing at Cheltenham, as you'd expect on Friday. And we're going to start in the first race of the day, which is the 105. And this is an amateur riders handicap chase. I suppose the obvious starting point here would be Standing Ovation, who's racked up a bit of a sequence and won the Badger Ales trophy at the weekend as well. So fine form. Do you think he can add a fifth success in a row?
I think he can. I mean, what are we now up to? Is he up to 133 now?
120 with a £7 penalty, I think.
So. Yeah, that's it. I honestly think he can. I mean, if you go back to the for the race that he won at Wincanton from Highland Lodge, I mean, the pair of them were 28 lengths clear of the third horse. You know, Highland Lodge is a decent horse. That's why I still believe that he was. I know he was a short price last Saturday, but he was thrown in to that as well. I think he's upwardly mobile. I think he'll do this. Obviously, as they said this morning, they've had to go for this just sort of. You know, as the weights were framed, they're only picking up the £7 penalty. I think this is the type of horse. I said it the other night. I think he will go on to see this horse contesting I can see him in sort of something like the Kim Muir or the National Hunt Chase at the festival. So it's very interesting that they throw him in here and Steve Clements comes over to take the ride. Steve Clements obviously used to be based over here. He won the festival when he was a professional, won on the Zoo de Dunuy. I can never ever pronounce that horse's name properly, especially when I have to say it on air. But like when I say it off air to myself, nobody can believe me that I actually pronounce it okay. That's the one, Mark. Yeah. Well done, yeah. It's a slightly embarrassing pronunciation from me there. He's a fantastic pilot. We saw him to good effect at the Galway Festival on Tony Martin's Ademi. What a beautiful race. I think this horse is still ahead of the handicapper. When I'm not sure what his ceiling will be, but he jumped fantastically. Be interesting to see how he gets on round Cheltenham. But I think, again, it's the type of course that I think he'll be able to get into a lovely, you know, a lovely jumping rhythm. I honestly cannot envisage any problems for him. And you've got Victrix Gale in there. Obviously, she mixes hurdling and chasing. Jamie Codd on board, another very good amateur. She actually won at Galway. Hunter's Lodge, I think we have to mention, he sprouted wings to win the amateur riders chase at the showcase meeting, which actually ended up to be quite eventful. And I don't know too much about the amateur. I don't even know his first name, shockingly, but he certainly rode a good race that day. But it's a Standing Ovation for me.
Okay, Standing Ovation then in the opener, a race that David Pipe knows how to win. He's won it last 2 years with Swing Bill as well, of course.
Yeah.
So he knows what he's doing with that.
And interestingly, I mean, Swing Bill was actually entered for this at the 5 day stage, but just left sort of Standing Ovation to take his chance. But yeah, I think I'm so sweet on Standing Ovation. He's got a lovely manner. He really has. I think he's still better than his mark suggests, but I'll shut up about him now anyway.
Okay, yeah. Standing Ovation then, I think that's what you're going for.
Yeah.
In the 105. On to the 135, then next, the Paddy Power Handicap Chase. A two-mile handicap chase with 17 of them in the lineup at the moment. Very competitive, but I understand you quite fancy one in here, don't you?
Yeah. it's a bit left field. It's a bit crazy, but I'll tell you my reasons. I've actually been watching Anne Turge for a while, So he won at Perth in April off 115, and to be honest, it wasn't the best of races, and he got absolutely hammered up to 127. And he still remains on that mark over fences. He won over hurdles in Newton Abbot, and he actually warmed up for this season in the conditional jockeys handicap hurdle at Cheltenham at the showcase meeting. Wasn't really knocked about in that. Was second to Eastlake at Aintree a couple of weeks ago, and the way he jumps is absolutely fantastic. He took the Racing Post actually tweeted a picture of it, and it was almost people laugh at me for saying this, but it was almost Desi-esque. He took off literally outside the wing. He's shown he can handle Cheltenham with a victory at the course in April. That wouldn't have been the deepest of races for Cheltenham, but I'm pretty sure that he's going to be a nice enough price for this, because you've got several in there that are from more fashionable yards. I really quite fancy this. Obviously, Eastlake is back in there again. Now, Eastlake, as we saw at Aintree, he does prefer the better going. I think this is going to be tougher for him. You've got horses like Tindaro. Yeah, it was lovely at Fontwell, but I don't think that he'll act around Cheltenham. The two Tizard horses, I am sort of a bit worried about the form of the Tizard yard at the moment. Defeater's Dream again, sort of Evan Williams yard. They were on fire, but they've kind of just dropped off a little bit now. Oh, Crick, I know he always looks tempting with Josh Newman on him when Josh Newman takes the seven off, but I don't think he's not the force of old. He was quite fancied last time out at, where was it? It was at Kempton, wasn't it? And he's sort of still, he couldn't get there. Did he haven't got a Scooby-Doo the other morning on the gallops, and he looked, I know he's been sort of drastically out of the form, but I wouldn't know too much about what a horse is showing on the gallop, but to me he certainly looked in good form, but I don't think you can really back him with any confidence here. Gus McRae, he's on a nice mark there. Patrick Corbett, a very able pilot, takes off the five, but again I can't have really backing Gus McRae at Cheltenham. So I think once you go through them and you actually sort of strike them off, I think Annie Turge becomes even more attractive, and he would be my bet in the race. I think he'd be a nice price.
Okay, Annie Turge then, we'll go each way on that one if he's a decent enough price, and on to the 205, and then this is an exciting race to look forward to on Friday. A novice chase over 2 miles and 4 furlongs, and we see Takander Sue take on Oscar Whiskey, which will be a nice little battle, and then we've also got the Cockney Mackham and the Romford Pele in the lineup as well. But should be a match between the top two, shouldn't it? Well, between Takander Sue and Oscar Whiskey.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, at last we're seeing Oscar Whiskey doing what he should have been doing a couple of seasons ago. I actually started to feel so sorry for this horse. I mean, asked to tackle three miles of the World Hurdle like twice, and just, he doesn't get, like, that was never going to be his forte. If he was mine, I would have sent him chasing last season, to be honest with you. I would have targeted him at the Juicen, and I would then be targeting the Ryanair this year. But look, I don't own the horse, and it's the owner's decision, so it's up to them. One thing with Oscar Whiskey, I'm slightly worried that after he ran a fabulous race on Trials Day to get so close to Rev to Savola at 3 miles. And I thought then, oh, have I got it wrong? But when I actually went back and looked at the race, I thought, no, if a horse of Oscar Whiskey's class stayed 3 miles, then he would have gone past Rev de Sivola. After that, obviously, he pulled up in the World Hurdle, and he didn't look happy behind Zarkander in the new one at Aintree. That is, of course, his ideal trip over hurdles. I think his class took him into fourth. But look, he's had a nice enough break here. I've never been that. I'm still yet to be convinced by Takander Sue. And I know that sounds absolutely mad. I know he won the Challow hurdle. I really didn't fancy him for the Neptune. I know he's being shouted from the rooftops in other places. I know that John Joe was sort of a little disappointed with the running. I know that John Joe was quite bullish going into the festival, and he just said that he was okay, but something wasn't right. He couldn't put his finger on it. I mean, facile enough success, wasn't it, really, at Foss last? But you've got the argument there, really. Well, it wasn't really much of a contest. I think he's vulnerable. I know he's got sort of youth on his side. You've got Oscar Whiskey's 8 years old, Takin Tatoy is six. But I think he's vulnerable to Oscar Whiskey. I think this has always been Oscar Whiskey's forte. And, you know, he has to give him weight here. I would be siding with Oscar Whiskey. See, the Cockney Macam took an awful fall at Cheltenham last time out in the race with the low sun, where Boulder Sousse crashed out as well. He lay on the floor for about 10 minutes and got, you know, one thing I love about jump racing is the reception that fallen horses get, stricken horses get when they eventually get to their feet. You know, nobody wants to see that. And he sort of applauded as he rose, and he was applauded as he walked in. It was wonderful to see him get to his feet, because I actually feared the worst for him. I did see him the other morning on the gallops, and it, you know, he looked all right, but you never really know what a fall like that has left on a horse. So if you go back last year to the fall of Bold Sir Brian at Cheltenham on Charles Day, I mean, that's sort of, Bold Sir Brian was in fantastic form and came there challenging. And I mean, that fall looks to have done for him, really. Hope he can come back this season. But yeah, it's Oscar Whiskey for me, Mark. I'm delighted to see him over fences. I think Takin Tatoy is vulnerable to him here.
Okay, then on to the final race we're going to look at, the 240 at Cheltenham. This is the David Johnson Memorial Intermediate Handicap Hurdle. It's over 2 miles and 5 furlongs, and 20 of them in the lineup. So a wide open handicap hurdle. I'm not even going to try and guess what you're going to guess. Which one are you siding with in the 240?
I like two in here, but for the purposes of the pod, I will narrow it down. Obviously, Top Gamble, David Pipe's going to be wanting to win this, isn't he? And, you know, in memory of the late David Johnson. Top Gamble, we haven't seen him since February, when he sort of dismissed Sydney Melbourne with ease, really. Obviously, Sydney Melbourne went on to have a highly successful summer jumps campaign. You've got Thomas Crapper in here as well. He enjoys his sort of outings to Cheltenham. He won the handicap hurdle at the showcase meeting, a 2.5 mile event off 1.22. It's a much hotter event, but I don't think he's been harshly treated on a raise of 1.28. I think he can still get competitive off that. The one that takes my eye is Upswing for the John Joe JP and AP combination. I'm always quite fond of Carlisle Farm translating to Cheltenham, sort of due to the undulations up in Cumbria. I think it bodes well for a horse coming to Cheltenham. Coverholder was beaten by Upswing last time out at Carlisle, and he ran out a very good winner at Sedgefield on Tuesday. And really like the Pipe Stable. Obviously, John Joe's firing. He's been in great form for a few months now, and it's not sort of showing any sign of coming to an end, really. Atlantic Roller, it's great to see him back. He of course had a horrible accident in his horse box on the way back from his win at Exeter last November, and it was quite a horrendous accident. Paul Nicholls said in his stable tour that Atlantic Roller will go on to contest chases, so you'd think that this is sort of a stepping stone to that. And given in really his time off and the fact that Paul Nicholls, the horses, one or two have sort of come out and needed the run, I wouldn't sort of be putting him up here tomorrow, but I do expect Atlantic Roller to go on and do good things. So I will be watching him with interest tomorrow. The heart says Top Gamble for obvious connections, but I'm going to go with Upswing.
Okay, Upswing then in the 240. Let's just have a quick summary of your selections then, if you wouldn't mind, Catherine, before you go.
Okay, so in the first race, the Amateur Riders Handicap Chase, we'll go with the Upwardly Mobile Standing Ovation. In the Paddy Power Handicap Chase, have an each way on Anne Turge. I'm convinced he's going to be in the shake-up. In the very exciting Novices Chase, we'll go with Oscar Whiskey chasing at last. And in the David Johnson Memorial Intermediate Handicap, we'll go with Upswing.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Catherine. Enjoy at Cheltenham. Will you be there the next few days? I imagine you will.
Yeah, I will be. Yeah, I can't wait.
Not as much. Thank you very much. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.